Blog Talk Radio.
You got Brenda Bradshaw, psychic, soul, card, reading, right now, Blog Talk.
It seems life was losing all its fun, always loving on the run. There was nothing to be done with you. Turn my whole thing around, pick myself up off the ground. Come to these arms, I want to embrace you. You are my lady, I'll never replace you. Oh, Brenda, my Brenda, I'm thinking about your love.
Receiving, cooperation, forgiveness, and agreement. There are six decks. You get to pick each one of those decks as your story unfolds. In the cards, I concentrate and I listen inside of myself to the Holy Spirit telling me the interpretation. This show is not like any other show. Thank you so much for joining the show. Thank you for your patience as we go through and do a reading for someone. They may have gotten readings from other shows, but they didn't get this kind of reading. 347-838-8452. This is Brenda Bradshaw. We're doing the readings. Messages from the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for all your love and all your support.
I'm thinking about your love. You're all that I'm dreaming of.
Monday night, and it happens to be happy birthday to Martin Luther King Jr., so that's a special day. But, you know, we want to talk about special people like him, and there are a lot of special people on our planet. They seem to have something a little bit different about them. They kind of understand God, yeah. And when they stick out like that, you kind of notice them. But, you know, the main thing that I want to talk about tonight is a mirror. Our card tonight is mirror. You know, the mirror has always been a strange object because it has no light in it at all. But when somebody comes up to it, something called a reflection, which is a light, it shows up on a mirror. Mirror's a dark surface. So let's look at these dark, dark, dark entities that are around us, these people who are nothing but darkness. Don't you know that we are showing our light on them, we're reflecting on them? So when you think about it, we are light, we are light, we are light inside. And when we come up to a dark creature, an entity, or we come up to someone who is out there who's very dark in their energy, well, our light shines on them. Must be very strange for them to see this light passing by. Looks like a shadow to them. But we see shadows because we see their darkness coming out around that, around them, because they're nothing but shadows. That's what they are, their dark energy. So that's something to think about, how mirror, mirror is on the wall. It's very important for us to look into the mirror and see ourselves, to really see our light shine. So we project onto that dark surface of the mirror. And a lot of people are afraid to look into the mirror. They're afraid to go near mirrors. I mean, there must be a reason about it. Maybe they don't want to see their light. Maybe they saw their self, that reflection. But it's a very strange little card here we got going on tonight called the mirror. And we're going to have a lesson. So let's see here what's going on the phone lines. 701, I see you waiting. I appreciate it. How are you doing tonight? What's going on with you?
Hi, I'm good. I don't know that I ever listened to your show before, so.
Yeah, well, sometimes people just kind of catch me on the fly. I'm just a fly girl, just flying around there. 45 years on the airways. It's been 45 years. That's a long time. So basically what we're looking at, I see with you, is something about relationships. And I'm telling you this because it's a psychic impression I'm getting from your energy that you're sending me tonight. So how would you kind of quote your relationships from a 1 to 10? Where are you, about midway?
Like, what do you mean? Where am I at?
Pick a number, 1 to 10.
Okay, 7.
Yeah, rate your relationships. There you go.
Okay.
What number?
Oh, 7.
Yeah, I was thinking midway, 7. Yeah. It means that something is coming and something is going. Kind of like you're wondering about it, trying to figure out if you should keep it or throw it away. Is that about right?
Well, yeah. It's just a teeter-totter thing just over and over.
Yeah, number 7, yeah. Right there in the middle. You know, basically, you have a right to choose. You know, you don't need permission. You don't need my permission or anybody's permission to keep that relationship, even though other people have made comments that it's not so great. Is that where we are right now also, that other people have made comments and that doesn't kind of chime with what you're really thinking? Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that happens, you know. We got to watch that when too many people get involved. And we want to talk about, you know, our life, and we want to talk about what's going on, and we want people's opinion, but we don't want them so much that they take over our opinion. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? that some of those people's opinions have gotten into your opinions. So now you're making different opinions. Let's see here. We're looking at what month are we looking at? January? Too soon. Don't give it up yet. Let's see, January, around March or April, then you can start making decisions. But keep it till that point. Okay, that's my kind of like psychic advice for you. Can you kind of work on it till March or April? Don't give up yet.
Yeah, I mean, are these people going to back off?
Nope, they never do. They keep hammering away.
But
it's you.
I mean, I feel...
It's you that, you know, you're the one that's going to have to keep this thing going. You can't depend on them to help you.
No,
okay.
They're not going to help at all. But I just am curious if they're going to finally go find somebody else to focus on.
Eventually.
I can't believe.
After you give up on them and you start pushing your own choice of March, you start saying, well, listen here. You can kind of talk to them boldly. You can go up to them and say, listen, around March or April, I'll be ready to give it up, but leave me alone till then. You know, don't make comments with them. You know, don't agree with them or disagree with them. You can do this. You can do this. You're a strong person. Okay? I also see that you do this. You do this a lot with relationships in the business world too. So you're right. You're a teeter totter. You're a person that gets in the middle with people and you listen to people. But you've got to start standing up for yourself here. It's about time. This is the year for you to find the right thing going on in relationships with people in general. Okay?
Okay.
This is your year. Don't you feel it?
Well, you know, it's just these people have really caught me off guard. I mean,
to have
an opinion is one thing, but to do the things that they have done, it's like, mind your own business. I can't believe you did that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you got that going on, so you're going to have to back off from it. You're going to have to stand up for your own choices. That's what this is about. This is what you call the year of big change, not little change. So I want you to look in that mirror of change and see that you could do this. You could say, okay, it's none of your business, and mean it, and let them get out of your business because you brought them into your business. You brought them into your life, and now it's time for you to step back and say, hey, you know, hey, that's cool, but I really need to be on my own. I need to be more independent this year. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I've already told them to back off and mind their own business.
Yeah, but you haven't really done it physically, mentally. You got to work on it. See, they've gotten in there to that part of you that is you considered your weakness. And now that you feel that weakness coming on you, then when you start to make a decision, you start thinking about everything that they said. And, yeah, they might have had a point, and it might have been a good point, but it wasn't for you. It wasn't yours. You see, they got up in your life. They started making choices for you. And now it's time for you to make choices for yourself. That's the best advice I can give you, honey. That's it right there.
Okay.
This is your chance now. This is your chance to make your own choices this year, okay? And psychically, that's what I'm feeling, okay? I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Got it?
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling in tonight. Now, you let those people get it. Let them go. Let them go their own way. Let them mind their own business. Now, don't bring them in no more. And start working on your own choices. You can do this, okay? I'm here.
Okay.
I'll encourage you. Okay, honey. All right. Thank you so much for calling in this morning. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Now, she's far away, but yet she's real close. She's our sister, and we ought to encourage her to do her own thing. All right, 856. Yeah, what's looking at you this morning? Hello there. What's going
Hi,
on there?
How are you?
I'm doing fine. you're not doing so fine. Yeah, you've let some
better.
People get up in your life, too. You heard me telling
yeah.
her that. Yeah.
yeah.
What's with that, Miss, the business world there? I tell you, it's none of their business, but they're always getting up in your face, and then you go, wait a minute here. Don't I have a choice? Yes, you do. Okay? Yes, you
right.
do. Now, what is this with your children? Something about your children? Is there some children involved
yet.
In all this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are they telling you how to raise your kids?
They're not my kids. They're a niece and nephew. I would like one.
Somebody's telling you what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what to do, right?
Right.
Well, what do you do? What do you say to them? Say, wait a minute here. I have experience. I know what I'm doing. Listen, I've heard you on Blog Talk for a long time here, you know, and I hear you, you know, listening to other people, but other people get you in trouble sometimes. I hear you
right.
listening to them. You think that they might know, they just might know something better than you do. That's not true. That's not true. Because you're in the mirror, and you know exactly what your reflection's all about. When you look in the mirror, you see the real you. You don't need to be looking into their mirrors and see how dark they are. They're always telling you things, the weirdest things, and you go, huh? Where'd you get that from? Well, they got it from the dark side, baby. Are you with me?
Yeah, I got you, yeah. That's true.
The dark side. You don't need the dark side. You need the light. That's what you're coming from is the light, okay? You got me?
Okay. I got you.
Okay. So with, what do you want to talk about tonight?
Whenever my finances are getting better, new business, like you said, or relationship, whatever the message is.
Yeah, I'll tell you what the message is. You're great. There you go. You're a wonderful person. You help everybody. That you?
Yep,
that you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm agreeing with it. I'm agreeing with it, girl. You've been out there long enough. You've been through the worst of it. Now you're getting the best of it. The best of it is you could do it yourself. And once you realize that you're the one in charge, you're the one making choices in your life, you won't need anybody to help you at all. And that may seem very lonely, but it's not, because you're the helper now. You see how that switched over? You are the helper. Got it? So, you go to help other people, right? Are you gone? Okay. I think she's having phone problems. Not sure.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. She disappeared there for a second there. I think she's having some kind of phone problems. Well, anyway, mirror, mirror on the wall. How many times have we heard that? And yet we don't think about it as being a mystery. It's a mystery. Mirror, mirror on the wall.
Please enjoy this talk given at the Austin Center for Spiritual Living, where we live and teach the principles of science of mind and spirit. For more information, visit austincsl.org.
Answering that divine appointment is our speaker today, Reverend Dr. Luis Carlos Sanchez. He is an ordained minister of religious science. He graduated with Holmes Institute with a Master's of Divinity. He holds a BA in Business Administration and a Doctor of Divinity degree from Emerson Theological Institute. So he is not only learned, but he is absolutely a magnificent example of teaching the science of mind. He served as a senior minister and spiritual leader of Harmony Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and resident chaplain at Hillcrest Medical Center and hospice chaplain in Oklahoma and Texas. He was born in Bogota, Colombia, and grew up in New York and Santiago, Chile. As the son of a UN diplomat, he got to travel, live, and experience a host of other countries and cultures. He has two accomplished grown children, four grandchildren. His son and family live in Budapest, Hungary. We'll be there in a couple months. And his daughter and her family reside in Dubai. He's been very active in social justice issues as a grief recovery counselor, workshop facilitator, speaker. His emphasis throughout his ministry is to be an instrument of awakening a conscience of peace, understanding, and unity based on the principles of science of mind. His intent in leading and guiding others to a higher consciousness and awareness of their divine spiritual nature through counseling and his spiritual work. And so I am just so excited and in gratitude to be able to present today Reverend Dr. Luis Carlos Sanchez.
Thank you, Reverend Mary. Thank you all for showing up today. Let me take you in a moment. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who do I see? I see myself in each one of you, in your smiles, in your longing for life, more peacefully, more joyfully, more fully. As I was listening to Reverend Mary read from her piece, I take his words to be more than just a communion with another individual. He says, oops, oh, there we go. Thank you. Okay. We'll work this out. It always works out. When the words are with tears in their eyes, they sincerely speak, my dear, speaking to the beloved, my dear, how can I be more loving to you? How can I be more kind? There is just God. We are immersed in that field. And so everything around us is God itself. So we cannot only be exclusive to individuals. We need to see how it is that we are also expressing this to the world, to the mineral world, to the animal world, as you so keenly placed it in your opening treatment, Reverend Mary. You know, how can I be more loving? How can I contribute of myself to giving and being there so that you, me, can flourish, can be more of you, and I can be more of you, of God. You see, there is no separation. Although we tend to think that because we have different bodies, the souls are all intermingled. Our minds are all one. We come together in this field of potentiality expressed as individuals, but only for the purpose of the divine nature doing its work.
Yeah, there we go again, talking about divinity, talking about how we are all reflective upon each other. That's that mirror that he's talking about. That's the mirror we're talking about tonight. You're reflecting on other people with that energy that you have. Isn't that amazing to think more in depth about the mirror? 951, you got Brenda. What can I do for you tonight?
Hey, Brenda. Maybe you could pull some cards or do something.
Oh, yeah, I sure can. I can do magic.
Abracadabra.
As they say in that song, I can do magic. Listen, look, you're reflecting on me, and I'm reflecting on you, okay? Now, I'm going to look at you, and I'm going to think, what have I got to look at? All I have is your voice. All I have is what you sound like. Now, it sounds like you actually are a very good father figure. Now, you may not be a father, but you're a father figure. Do you find yourself people clinging to that about you, that they like listening to your wisdom, like a father figure? Do you find that in your world?
Yeah, I had one friend I helped for years and stuff, and he thought that I was a father.
That's a very good reflection.
Uh-huh.
And you're very tender, and you're very kind to people when you talk to them. You always feel that coming through. You're always reflecting that love that they have inside of them. Now, if you're going to choose to be a father, it's going to be a wonderful thing for you. It's really going to open up a lot of your centers, a lot of your chakras and your energy. Did you know that? By becoming a natural father.
Wow.
You see the importance of that? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's your energy. That's your energy. Because you would be extending your total being as an energy force in the father area. That's right. So you might want to give that some consideration this year, sir.
Yeah. That's why some young people, I think, they have kids too early or something, but it still changes them, you know.
Yeah, that's true. It changes them, but it may change them in the wrong way because they're too young, because they weren't ready mentally, okay?
Uh-huh.
And you already
right.
have the mental down, you
uh-huh.
see. You already have that part down, which you know exactly the responsibilities of it. And they don't know that. So they, you know, they might be moving into it a little bit faster. But I was saying for you personally that would be a good reflection for you this year, you to concentrate on becoming a father, natural father. Okay? That's something you asked me, what did I see? And that's one thing I see. Okay.
Oh,
another thing I'm seeing here is, in the business world, do the same thing, to move more into that father, natural father, but also into that father figure people are choosing, to allow it to happen, to let it unfold, you see?
Okay,
to let people know that you have instincts towards being a father and to be protective, and you have all that wisdom inside you. Have you considered to be more open in the business area?
I've been off for a while, but I'm maybe returning to work, so I'm kind of, you know, things are happening every day, and I know the Holy Spirit's working with me, so I expect miracles.
Yeah. Well, the Holy Spirit will work with you with this particular area, but being a father is very important to the Holy Spirit. Okay?
Hmm. Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know if you want to talk about somebody, but I pick up the name Rose. Do you have a person named Rose in your life, sir?
Rose? Rosie? No, I really don't. I can't think of... No. Rose.
Well, I pick up that she's a very important lady in your life, and she's not a Marian kind of lady, but she's a lady who cares about you. She's very tender and loving. Did you have a rose in your past, sir?
You know, way back in second grade, there was Mrs. Rose, actually. I had a teacher.
Yeah.
And I liked her class. But she must be
well,
passed away.
Well, that's what I'm picking up, sir.
Okay.
It's that energy.
Yeah.
It's coming back again. And then when we hear that energy come back, usually we'll get a name. And that's why I got the name Rose, and that energy's coming back again. And you may need that energy around you, sir. So if you just look around you, there will be a rose around you that guiding you and leading you in spirit, sir. And they're very much leading you in the other side. You know, we call the other side of this world, too, the afterlife. Rose is out there leading you and guiding you, sir. She was a spiritual guide for you. You understand how that works?
Yeah.
We have spiritual guides that come into our life. They were real people. They weren't some figment of our imagination, sir. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, you know, you don't really see them all the time, you know. You don't know they're there. I mean, yeah, you do.
Yeah.
It's easy to forget, you know, because you don't.
Were spiritual guides. And we pick them up along the way, and they were actually here physically with us for a period of time. And then when they passed over and crossed over, they always left that spiritual residue or that spiritual part of that, what they brought us, will keep it stay with us. So I'm just saying that your spiritual guide, one of them would be this Rose lady that you picked up.
Hmm.
All right? You're understanding what I'm talking about.
It might be someone in the future, too, so.
Well, it could be, but I think more the past. Okay?
All right.
Because I know they're in spirit, and they're good spirits. Okay?
Uh-huh.
All right, so is there any other thing we should talk about with you, sir?
Gosh, I'm going to be returning to work here. I don't know if I'm going to be, you know, if it's going to be a few more weeks. I think it's going to be about 3 or 4 more weeks, or I'm not sure.
No, it's only going to be 2 weeks, sir.
Yeah.
Only going to be 2 weeks. Okay?
Sure. Okay. All
I
right,
believe
we'll
I already off. Told you that, but I'll tell you again, 2 weeks, sir. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Everything's
okay.
Going to be fine. I'll come back to you again. Just rely on Rose.
Okay.
She won't leave you. She's out there hanging. She's guiding you.
Yeah,
she's out there for you. You can contact her. Okay?
All right.
Have a good day, sir. I love you very much for calling in, okay?
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Oh, my goodness. Let's see what else we got here. We got somebody on. Oh, let's see. 239. Who is this on this line? 239. Who is this?
Hi, Brenda. This is Lynn. Thank you for taking my
call. Oh, hi, Lynn. It's been a long time. How you doing, girl?
Oh, I'm doing good. Yes, it's been a while. Yeah, I had
well,
a
birthday. Well, you still remember.
Few weeks ago.
I mean, that's all I could ask, that you remembered. Call me. What's going on
yeah.
with all this thing? What did you do? Did you start the business? Did you start that business yet?
Not yet. You know, I'm...
You still,
I'm,
what are you
I'm,
doing? You still putting it off? What are you waiting for?
Well,
money or what?
Well,
what is it? What's
well,
stopping
I'm waiting
it?
For the move. The move.
It's waiting and waiting and waiting.
I'm moving.
How
you
can
know,
we
I'm
get you out of that?
Down. You know,
how
I'm moving
How can we get
south?
You out of waiting?
Well, I'm moving
you know,
south.
You know what you're doing. First
that
of all.
That was supposed to happen when I moved
you,
south.
You know what you want to do. You just got to start doing it, darling. You can't be putting it off and procrastinating like this. I mean, look, this is your year here. This is it. The 2020 is your year.
Well, what
you
do you see
me?
About the move? What do you see about the move, Brenda? Where do you see the move?
Yeah, well, it's there. You got to go west. You remember?
No, I'm going west right now.
You're going west?
I'm going west right now. And I'm going south.
Yeah, but you'll do it. Listen, I know that you put it off because of good reasons. You thought there were good reasons. But you've been procrastinating too long. You're going to have to start writing it down, making a plan, and actually doing something about it, Lynn. You got that? You can't keep putting it off because that's not going to help. You're just going to get sad and mad and all those kind of bad emotions are coming up. You got me? So we got to get rid of those emotions and we got to take charge of our life. And I'm with you all the way. I know you can do this. Do you know you can do it? There's a problem. I mean, all these psychics will tell you, do it. It's okay.
Well, when
but
do you
you
see
know
me
it?
Moving? When do you
yeah,
see me moving, Brenda?
Yes,
when do
I
you
do.
You see me moving.
Okay. I see you moving as soon as you would get off your butt. Sorry to put it that way.
Well, you know the money.
Take the chances.
When do you see the money coming in? The money
okay,
coming
here
in.
We go
for,
again.
For the move.
You're waiting
yeah.
again for something to happen. It's you. It's not the money. It's not the place.
Oh.
It's not
so,
outside.
So I can probably
it's inside
have
of you.
Oh, okay.
Yes, inside you. You see, you got to remember that you're the one that's in control of this. Got that covered? You got that?
I'm sorry. What did you say? Could you repeat that last
part? Okay,
car?
Listen. You got the giggles. You got the giggles. Okay. I hear them. You get them occasionally, and I understand that.
Yes,
Lynn,
I do.
You're very physical. And you feel like that you've got to have money to make the move. That's not true. That's
oh.
not true. You need yourself to believe in yourself. Once you
okay.
start believing in yourself, the money will come. Now I want you to really be serious about this. Remember
okay.
now, all is God. Everything is God. Everything you touch is God.
Yes.
Everything you see is God.
Yes.
Do you understand that? You understand that perception?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Huh?
I do. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Good for you. Then I want you to get started right now, believing in yourself. And I want you to listen to this lady. She'll tell you. Okay, all about this. Here it comes. This is just for you.
Please enjoy this talk given at the Austin Center for Spiritual Living, where we live and teach the principles of science of mind and spirit. For more information, visit austincsl.org.
We are so blessed to have Reverend Mary Schaefer with us this morning. Yeah, those of you who know Reverend Mary, she doesn't really need an introduction. Those of you who don't know Reverend Mary, you are in for a treat this morning. Reverend Mary is a graduate of the Holmes Institute, received a master's degree in consciousness studies, and is trained as a science of mind and spirit minister. And have all of you thank and have Reverend Mary.
Ed's first time in this incarnation, in this building, doing the service leader. Yes. And, you know, as you come back a few weeks from now, you'll see him much, you know, smoother. He won't be quite as nervous. And all of the papers will be in order. That's an affirmation.
Yeah. And so it is.
And so it is. Amen. All right. So I want to get started today. Today, of course, is the Memorial Day weekend. And, like, why are you all here? Because everybody else is out playing today. So I figure we can play a little bit here today as well. So today we're talking about something that is near and dear to my heart. We've been studying for the last few months the the Declaration of Principles. I know you've seen this. We've got copies of it. You might see it like this, single page, both sides. And we're talking about what we believe. Now, this statement of what we believe was written by Ernest Holmes back in the 20s. And he starts out by saying, we believe in God, the living spirit, almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause. So this is the beginning. If you don't memorize anything else but the first line, this is a good place to start. This one manifests itself in and through all creation, but is not absorbed by its creation. Now get your head around that. It creates it, but it's not absorbed by it. So it is something that we can't even imagine generally. The manifest universe is the body of God, is the logical and necessary outcome of the infinite self-knowingness of God. Because God is knowing itself through us. That's how we got here. Now I'm going to skip way down to the bottom, which is what our topic is today. We believe in our own soul, our own spirit, our own destiny, for we understand the life of all is God. We believe in our own soul, our own spirit, our own destiny, for we understand that the life of all is God. So, how would you be different if you really believed that? How would your life be different if you knew that your life was the life of God? What would you do differently? Is there anything that you're doing in your life now that you would stop doing? Anything that you're doing that you would start doing? There is a story which I got from the internet, but so it must be true. But even if it's not, it's a really good story. And it talks about when women in certain African tribes find out they're pregnant, they go with their sisterhood, best BFFs, into the forest. And they meditate and pray, and until they hear the song of the child that's about to be born, the child that has just been conceived, and they hear the song of the child. And once they do that, they start to sing it out loud. And then they return to the tribe and they teach everybody else the song of this child. And when the child is born, the community gathers together because they've already learned this song. And they welcome that child. And when the child starts to go to school, go to, make those changes in life, they sing the song to the child. They sing this child's song. And as the child passes through initiation into adulthood, again, they sing the song. When the child is married, now a young adult, they sing the song. And finally, when the soul is about to depart from this world, again, they sing the song. And they sing the person to the next life. And there's one other time when they sing the song. One other time when that person hears their song. And it is if there has been some transgression. If they committed a crime or social act that is not accepted, the individual is called to the center of the village and the people in the community form a circle around them and they sing their song. Because this tribe recognizes the correction is not punishment, but a remembrance of who and what we are. So if someone remembers who and what they are, they remember their beingness, they remember that the life of all is the life of God. And that's what we're about. And that's what we're about today, too. To become aware, to remember. Today is tomorrow's Memorial Day. And this is a time when we celebrate and recognize and honor those who have gone before, especially those who have been killed in a war. And this started out in the 1860s, after the Civil War, when they wanted to
honor, and commemorate. But people have been gathering for years at cemeteries, decorating their cemeteries. In the area where I came from, it was Decoration Day, and so you'd go out to the cemeteries, everybody would have flowers on their cemeteries. So it's a day of remembrance. And so I want to take today to celebrate and to remember who and what we are, to remember that we are that individualized expression of God, and how easily that rolls off the tongue, and how much more it takes to take that in. We are individualized expression of that God being. We are that expression, that happiness, that experience that the divine wants to have through us. So if we look at ourselves, we say that remembering is not a one-time thing. Remembering is a continuous series of transformations as we transcend the limitations of experience to become more and more of who we truly are. And Ernest Holmes tells us this. He says, remember that spirit exists always at the center of all form. It is forever expressing in and as tangible form. The forms of its expression may come and go, but it is changeless and eternal. We personally have form, but we're still some part of spirit. Since spirit is at the center of everything, and its action as well always responds to our thoughts, there is no limit to its creativity, except the limitations which we ourselves place on it. So if we look at ourselves as products of the world, then we have limitations, then we have issues and problems that may come up. But it means that we know the truth. If we see ourselves as spirit, if we see ourselves as spirit, can you imagine yourself as that divine spirit? And letting everything else fall away. And how then can there be any issue, any difficulty, any challenge, any problem? It is all God. And our pain comes when we resist that. Have you ever been in resistance to that divine flowing through you, and all of a sudden it's like, well, I can't go through this part or that part? And that pain comes from the resistance. If you simply move through it, if you allow yourself to be in the flow of life, then it's easy and effortless. In seeking to fulfill our desires, we accomplish two important missions. We help make the world a better place, and we perfect our own spiritual nature. So if we live and move and have our being in spirit, and if we come to that place where we can perfect our own spiritual nature, that is in preparation for our next adventure. So each time we move to another spot, another place. And as we come into that knowing, we become more of who and what we are. I heard a poem not too long ago on the Poet's Corner, and I loved it. And so I want to bring that to you today. It's called Diagnosis by Sharon Olds. By the time I was 6 months old, she knew something was wrong with me. I got looks on my face she had not seen on any child in the family, or the extended family, or the neighborhood. My mother took me to the pediatrician with kind hands, a doctor whose name sounded like a suit size for a wheel, Hub Long. My mom did not tell him what she thought, in truth, that I was possessed. It was these strange looks on my face. He held me, conversed with me, chatting as one does with a baby. And my mother said, look, look, she's doing it now, she's doing it now. And the doctor said, What your daughter has is called a sense of humor. Oh, she said, and took me back to the house where that sense would be tested and found to be incurable. That incurable. No matter what's going on in our lives, we have those certain gifts that we've been given that are incurable. Whether it be that idea that, you know, there's always something better around the corner, or whether it be that immense satisfaction of living in the here and now, we have certain gifts that we've been given.
Each of us is a divine expression of God, created by God out of itself and endowed with its divine qualities. But we're more than creations. We are also co-creators. We are co-creators. That's the good news and the bad news. The good news is we're co-creators. The bad news is we're co-creators. Good news is we've created something that we love, and not so much if we've created something we don't love, but that we can recreate that into something that we do love. So God is everywhere present. And that means right here, right now. And that means in everyone else. So it's not just that we are individualized expressions. All the people that reflect back to us are also individualized expressions of that one divine nature. And it is in this wholeness that we come to our freedom, our experience of life. It is in this wholeness that we join with other people for a magnificent experience of picnic in the park, or coming today to celebrate in community, or to be with another person as they shed tears. We come together because we are part of that immense wholeness. I don't know if you've ever been on a ship crossing the ocean where you haven't seen anything else for days. And at that point, I came to realize, you know, this is really, I mean, it looks big on the globe, but out here when it takes days and days to cross the ocean, this is immense. This is bigger than anything I can imagine. And the feeling of actually being in it. And so this is the feeling of having that wholeness and being that part, that drop in the ocean of the wholeness that is. You exist that the divine feeling, fire, imagination, and creativity may be expressed through you. Our mind and spirit is our echo of the eternal thing itself, and the sooner we discover that, the sooner we shall be made free and happy. This is what Ernest Holmes tells us in The Science of Mind. The universe is filled with spirit and filled with law. One reacts to the other. We are spirit and we are law. The law of our life reacts to our spiritual or material concepts and builds and rebuilds according to our beliefs. I was thinking about that as we sang today. What's it about? It's about love. It's about laughter. It's about comfort and smiles. It's about hearts open wide. It's about taking a chance. It's about lending a hand. And are we willing to swing wide those doors? Perhaps you've heard the story of the daffodils. There was a woman who went to visit her daughter, and her daughter said, you know, you have to come and see this. And it was a foggy day and kind of not the kind of day you want to go out in. Like, do we have to go? You know, there's traffic trying. So the mother wasn't particularly excited about going, but she went along. And after about 20 minutes down the road, they turned down a gravel road and they saw a small church. And on the far side of the church, there was a sign that said, Daffodil Garden. You can imagine this little wooden sign. Painted, hand-painted daffodil garden. And they walked down the path and turned the corner and were confronted by the most amazing display of daffodils. It looked like somebody had taken a great vat of gold and just sprayed the entire countryside. They were in majestic swirl patterns with golds and yellows and little tints of oranges and tangerine. Each one a different colored variety, and it was planted so that they would meld with their own. And it flowed like a river. There were 5 acres of daffodils. And who has done this? Said the mother. And the daughter replied, well, she lives on the property and that's her home. So they went to the home, and there's a poster on the outside, and it says, answers to questions I know you are asking. First answer, simple one, 50,000 bowls. Second answer, one at a time, by one woman, 2 hands, 2 feet, and very little brain. Third answer was, began in 1958. Immediately they understood that this is the daffodil principle, to do one small thing and watch it grow into that larger thing. Planting one bulb at a time, year after year, she changed the world in which she lived. She created something of indescribable magnificence and beauty and shared that. And when we multiply ourselves, the amount of time that we have, that we can spend, what kind of bulb are you planting in this instant? What will your garden look like? Is it colorful? Will it bring joy? What will your garden look like? This is another poem, Summer Day, by Mary Oliver. Who made the world? Who made the swan, the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass. The one who is eating sugar out of my own hand. Who's moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down. Who's gazing around with the enormous complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. And now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down into the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I've been doing all day, and tell me what else should I have done. Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? What is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? What would you plant? What would you plant? In a few minutes, we're going to sing a song. It's called Stand by Karen Drucker. And I invite you, when we sing that song, to take in those words and to be a stand, to be that stand. Because that divine expressing through you is absolutely perfect, whole, and complete. And each little thing that we do comes into those bigger things. Each little thing that we do comes to be those bigger things. And in conclusion is, I have this wonderful, I've just been reading poems all week, you have to forgive me, it's just been delightful. And so I just want to share them because I can. So this is called Expands His Being by Meister Eckhart. All beings are words of God. His music, his art.
Well, you've been listening to reflections. I mean, that's what's happening. When we look into that mirror, we start reflecting it. We reject what we see most of the time, but what we're doing is reflecting, and we reflect upon ourselves what the true self is. That's what I liked about her. You know, she was talking about what's really going on with me. And this girl that called in was talking about, well, she wants to do this and she wants to do that. There's many things we want to do, you know, but the many things that we want to do is just take care of ourselves, okay? Do that self-worth. Make sure that we believe in what we're doing. Because if we believe, we can achieve. We cannot achieve without believing, especially who we are. We got to look at the reflection of who we are. What can we do? There's many things we could do. But people will say, you can't do this. If somebody's telling you, you can't do this without this, then something's wrong. Because you have to say, okay, that's fine. I know I need money to move, or I want to move, but you can't concentrate on all that outside of you. Remember, what's inside you is what's going to get you moving. The plan is to believe in yourself. That is the plan, to believe in yourself. You got to think about that. That's right. Believe in yourself. I know you can do that. So this is the end of the show, and we appreciate you coming in tonight, and we hope you have a wonderful and prosperous 2020. Yeah, 2020. Bye-bye, everybody. Okay. Here we go. We're out of here.